Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room.
Except Texas. Matt Brown still sucks.
There's the blitz! Touchdown, Lehman! Touchdown, Oklahoma! Williams got him on the blitz! Lehman on the pick!
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
I hate that guy.
Whoa.
Dave Bartu.
I don't know.
We are in the Matrix.
I have no idea. Nothing. I got nothing. I mean, really isn't that kind of the response to every what-if question in college football right now? I have no idea. Yeah, here we are, week three. And with college football, I figured it would probably be like the NFL. NFL, I've always gone 4 weeks. Just let them play for 4 weeks and start crunching numbers and then do your expectations after that. But shit, we got stuff all over the place. We got programs that started the season without any contact. You know, we have programs that haven't practiced and programs that have practiced a lot. And here we are week three. And it's still craziness. You know, you got a top 20 Louisiana Lafayette getting beat on the road by George State. Yeah, I know they come back, and they came back and won in overtime. But Tulane up 24-0, loses 27-0 in the second half. It really is nutty. Norvell's out now with COVID positive. It really is just all over the place. Now, couple of normal things, though. One, coach is getting fired. Didn't even make it past week one. That's funny, Wolken. Wolken tweeted that everybody gets a pass. There's no hot seats for 2020. And he tweeted that before the season, like last Friday or two Fridays ago or whatever. And I thought it was funny because I knew two guys that were on the hot seat. One of them's already gone. I just didn't have the balls to say the both of their names, just in case something doesn't happen. But Hobson's already out of Southern Miss. And I like the potential. Little digression here. I like the potential at Southern Miss. This is a program that has been pretty below their average recruiting line. And recruiting's been sliding over the last 4 years. Hobson did not improve that whatsoever. So, and there's some good guys out there. I think that the AD at Southern Miss has a really good opportunity. And certainly, like any of the jobs that are open, Adam and myself over at Matrix Analytical Solutions, we're going to try to get involved. The last one we got involved with, Mike Leach ended up at Mississippi State. So hopefully 2020 brings a new opportunity on the backside of college football. As for what is going to happen, let's talk playoffs. Right? Shit, why not? I mean, who knows really what's going to happen with that. But I feel that the committee should just stick to the same formula they use every week. Total wins against quality opponents, total wins against top 25 opponents, game control, which you and I know better as margin of victory. Oh, I know they're not supposed to use margin of victory, but it is number one club gold on the list. And then conference championship game wins. So who knows where we're going to get with that. But I think one thing is for certain, G5s are out. The group of five teams, look, they're not playing any Power 5 teams. Their strength of schedule is really trash, more than normal trash. It's bad. You know, you had UCF, who was 13-0, top three in scoring efficiency a few years ago, and they didn't even sniff it. So, and they beat, what, three Power 5 teams? Four? I can't even remember. But I know that UCF team would whip everyone's ass in the G5 this year and has a much better resume than any G5 will ever have this year. So the fact that it's even being discussed, I think, is silly. So now, how many games are going to get played? We don't know. you, me, does Alabama get 10 games in? 5, 6, Ohio State, you know, Oregon, Oklahoma? I don't know. I really don't. But I want to go over my projections within the numbers on who has the talent, who has the coaching to get to the national title game, regardless of the record. Just going to assume the playoff committee is going to do everything they normally do, no changes there, and that these teams are able to get most of their games in. Now, if you've been following me for a while, you know that back in 2008, the very first model I did, the reason I even got started with this, was because of trying to use recruiting to project who would win national championship games. And in 2008, basically, I just reverse engineered all the recruiting and assigned it to the national title winners from the previous 6 years. And what it said was that every single winner of the national title game, and this was back in 2008, so the model hypothesis on talent only, was every single winner had 4 consecutive years of top 25 classes. In the last 4 years, had at least one top 15 class and had at least 2 top 10 classes. Well, 2009, that was correct. 2010, correct. 11, correct. 12, correct. 13, correct. In fact, that has been correct for every single year except one. That was the year that Deshaun Watson put Clemson on his back and won a national title. That's the only time a top 10 four-year average recruiter didn't win the national title this century. So I tried to refine it a little bit because, well, that pool of teams is 10 every single year, plus the teams that are ranked between 11 and 15. And the refinement of it, I looked at coaching and I looked at the previous year's performance. So not only has every winner of the national title game been a top 10 recruiter and had all those recruiting metrics, but all of them were top 25 at the end of the previous season in my calculation for total team scoring efficiency. So basically, you got to recruit really well. And you also have to perform very well the previous year. You have to go into your championship season on an upward swing. Also, everybody that has won a national title, except one, so one out of 21 did it, actually it's 2 out of 21 did it with an offensive and defensive coordinator that was experienced and in our grading system had a B- career grade or better. The exceptions, Cam Newton and Gus Malzahn, overcame a C-plus grade defensive coordinator, and last year, unknown offensive coordinator named Joe Brady with an elite defensive coordinator in Dave Aranda and top 5 talent won a national title. And yes, they were number 21 in total team scoring efficiency the year before. So, what I'd like to do with you is break down all the teams by the performance, coaching, and talent metrics going into this season. Now, how that's going to play out right back at the beginning, I don't know. But we'll just kind of assume everybody gets to play as many games as possible. The playoff committee behaves the same way as it always has, week in and week out. So here's a quick breakdown of how I see it for this year, and this is what it would look like if it was a normal season as well. So the first thing, we eliminate everybody that recruits outside the top 15 and does not have 4 consecutive top 25 classes. The teams that are 20 through 40, USC. Wow, USC. This was the number one recruiter. Actually, even with
the bad seasons, I think USC still might have the number one recruiting average class for the last 20 years. So USC, North Carolina, Mississippi State, Stanford, UCLA, Kentucky, TCU, Ole Miss, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Maryland, Virginia Tech, Arkansas, Iowa, Utah. That is in order from 21 through 40. So all those teams, they are not only are they not national title contenders, they are not national title game losing contenders. Because in the last 20 years, yes, all the top 10 recruiters with all those metrics have won all but one national title game. They have lost all but four of the national title games. So 42 winners and losers, five of them recruit outside the top 10 over the previous 4 years heading into any individual season. Not a lot of window of opportunity for anybody else. But these teams do move in and move out. Like I said, USC is out. Let's look at the next group of teams that are just outside the top 15. Florida State, perennial top five recruiter in the country. I mean, you look at their numbers, 5, 17, 3, 1, 8, 9, 12, 9, 1, 6, 12, 3, 5, 3, 6. I mean, that is some huge classes. So the brand and the potential is still there. If you had a lot of turnover, Jimbo, Willie, now Mike, it's going to take a little while to build that back up. But they've been there, and I think they'll get back. But they're going to have to replace somebody else. Somebody else is in is going to have to fall out. So number 16, Florida State, they're out. Washington at 17, they are out. Not only are they out because of their recruiting, they got a new head coach, they have a terrible offensive coordinator, they are out, out, out. Miami at 18 is out. Specifically, number 67 in total team scoring efficiency last year. They were bad. I don't see them turning the corner in a single year. Number 19, South Carolina. And number 20, Nebraska. That's right. The number one recruiter in the Big Ten West. Scott Frost has done a very good job recruiting since he has showed up in Lincoln, to the point that he has four consecutive top 25 classes. 21, 23, 16, and 18. The last three classes are his. Talent's there. Got to start winning. So those five teams, Florida State, Washington, Miami, South Carolina, Nebraska, we'll call those first five out. All right. They're out of consideration because no one with that recruiting profile has made it. But keep in mind, Washington, South Carolina, and Nebraska did do one element, okay? They have pulled four consecutive top 25 classes, which is solid. That's a solid bit of work for those programs. Real quick shout-out to our sponsor before we get into the last section of the National Championship Contenders, CBD Delta at cbddelta.com. A quick link is on the page right outside of the podcast. Click on that, and it'll take you to the cbddelta.com website. I use their pain lotion for inflammation and muscle pain, just both regularly and after workouts, recovery for hangovers, and full-spectrum gummies for a good night's sleep. cbddelta.com. So let's take a look at that. Basically, tier two, that 11 through 15. So coming in at number 11 and now number four in their division in recruiting. This is kind of critical. No program has won a college football playoff game. No program has obviously then made a national title game from the position of number four or worse recruiter in their division. Auburn, even though they're number 11, and that would be the number one recruiter in the ACC, what is that, Coastal? That would be the number one recruiter in the Big Ten West. That would be the number one recruiter in the Pac-12 North. That would be the number one recruiter in the Pac-12 South. But it's the number four recruiter in the SEC West. So Auburn, they do have four consecutive top 25 classes. They were top 25 in total team scoring efficiency last year. They do have an offensive and defensive coordinator that are above a B-minus grade in our system for their careers. Auburn, in any other place but the SEC West, would be a playoff contender. Auburn, in any other place but the SEC West, with an NFL quarterback, would be a fringe NFL title college football title contender. Same thing you can say with Florida. All right. Now, Florida is the number two recruiter in their division, number 12 overall, top 25 in scoring efficiency last year, offensive and defensive coordinators, both B grades for their career. But does Florida have an NFL quarterback to be that one out of 20 national champion that isn't a top 10 recruiter? Depends on who you ask. I would say most people would say no, Kyle Trask is not an NFL quarterback to lead Florida to a national title. Say the same thing at Michigan. Top 15 recruiter, good offensive coordinator, good defensive coordinator. They just don't have the talent to do it. They don't have the quarterback to do it. Top 25 in total team scoring efficiency last year. Tennessee! That's right. Tennessee, over the last 4 years, has recruited between Oregon and Michigan. Now, a lot of people say, oh, cupboard's bare when Jeremy Pruitt showed up, and blah, 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 recruiting, and blah, 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 that. In fact, you know something? Tennessee, for this century, is the number 14 recruiter in the country. They've always recruited good. So, at some point, we're going to have to look in the mirror and find out, can you just not hire a good coach? Or can you turn it around? Now, I know Tennessee went on a great run last year to finish the season, won a whole bunch of close games. They still finished 74th in total team scoring efficiency. So, I'm going against them making a jump. They got a new offensive coordinator. Don't recall off that one. They have had four consecutive top 25 classes. So Tennessee, I would eliminate them from even fringe national championship discussion because, well, they're just not very good at football last year on paper, even though the win total is a little bit different than you'd expect. So I would say they got a little more lucky than good, and they don't have an NFL quarterback. Same with Oregon. Oregon at 15, four consecutive top 25 classes, number 15 in college football. They have a new offensive coordinator. They have five new offensive linemen. They have a new quarterback. Oregon needs to be looking at this year as a big, giant dress rehearsal to try to get better for 2021, 2022, and going forward. So, those are your teams in there. So unless Auburn, Florida, Michigan, or Oregon has an NFL quarterback, they're not going to be the one out of 20 teams that wins a national title from that recruiting position outside of the top 10. So let's go inside the top 10 and break these teams down. And I will give them to you in order of recruiting strength over the last 4 years. Georgia, number one. Alabama, two. Ohio State, three. LSU 4, Oklahoma 5, Texas A&M 6, Penn State 7, Clemson 8, Texas 9. Auburn and Florida were basically tied for 10. I just bumped them up to tie for 11 because, in fact, that number 10 slot has won one national title. Again, it was with Cam Newton. Dude was probably the best college football player ever for one single season. So let's work our way backwards. Texas. Texas doesn't have four consecutive top 25 classes. In fact, their senior class was ranked 28th at the time of recruiting. Now, Texas over the last 3 years, only Georgia, Alabama, and Texas have pulled three consecutive top 10 classes. That's it. So, is Texas loaded talent-wise? Yes. Are they loaded with talent on the junior-senior level? No. So, nobody has won a national title or lost a national title without four consecutive top 25 classes. Texas is right on that edge, but we're going to throw them out anyways just to shrink the pool. Clemson, they check all the boxes. Offensive and defensive coordinator above a B-minus grade, yes. Top 25 in scoring efficiency last year, yes. Four consecutive top 25 classes, yes. A top 15 in there, yes. Two top 10s, yes and yes. In fact, they have three out of four of their classes are top 10s. So, Clemson, tier one conclusively. Same thing with Penn State. Offensive and defensive coordinator, the talent, the coaching, the recruiting position, the number of top 25 classes. Two of their classes are top 10. Penn State, that top tier. Texas A&M. Now, under the old system of top 10 recruiter, five top 25 classes, four top 25 classes, a 15, two 10s, they fit. But only 19 of 21 national champions have fit that mold. Where A&M doesn't fit is what they did last year. They got the coaching, the offensive and defensive coordinator grades. Those are there. They got the talent grades. In fact, they have a great schedule. They got a ton of people coming back. But this team last year was 55th in total team scoring efficiency. 55th. So, like I said, the worst one to ever win a national title from the previous year was 25. So if A&M wins it, it will solely be on a massive, massive improvement of efficiency with great talent. Oklahoma in. They got all the boxes checked. LSU, they got a new offensive coordinator. He called plays for LSU 1 year. That was 2 years ago. They were 55th in offensive scoring efficiency. Last year, Joe Brady was second. Joe Brady's gone. We're back to their old offensive coordinator. In fact, they have a new defensive coordinator as well, except Bo Pelini was a B-plus grade as a defensive coordinator calling the defensive plays. That was a very, very good hire, but I don't believe in the offensive coordinator at that level. So LSU has everything but the coaching component. Same thing with Ohio State. New defensive coordinator. They have everything but the coaching component. So, yeah, I'm actually fading Ohio State's chances to win a national title. They check off most everything. Come on. I mean, it's from a talent perspective, number three recruiter over the last 4 years. Got a great offense. Got a ton of guys coming back. I mean, it's just really a reload for the Buckeyes. But in an effort to try to really narrow it down, because there's a lot of folks that have tried to spin off all sorts of recruiting blue chip ideas from my stuff, and that's cool. That's cool, right? You know, I mean, imitation is the best form of flattery, but a lot of their pools are 10, 12. I think Phil Steele put out a pool of potential national championship winners, and it was 16 teams. Like, that's a quarter of all the Power Fives. What the hell? You know, let's try to narrow this thing down. Alabama, obviously, and Georgia, from a talent perspective, both sides. Georgia, I know they brought in a new offensive coordinator, but Adam and I were kind of having an argument with this one. That offensive coordinator is not very good. You know, you add in or take out a season or two, and it's really fringe B minus C plus offensive coordinator. So personally, I lean towards Georgia having a much more difficult time winning it all with their coaching staff than, let's say, an Alabama, an Oklahoma, a Penn State, or a Clemson. So that really, in a nutshell, the teams that check off all the boxes for 20 of the last 21 national title winners, Georgia, questionably, Alabama, Oklahoma, Penn State, and Clemson. That's it. That's my national title pool for 2020. Questions, comments, whatever. If you're a patron, attached to this page is a spreadsheet of all the recruiting for all the teams. Everything I got from 2002 forward. And if you're wondering about the composite numbers that are ranked in there, it was Scout and Rivals. and then it transitioned to Rivals and 247. Never used ESPN because they don't care. Their staff doesn't care. And usually they only do a top 25 anyways. So it's always just been the two best ones out there that have put together my composite rankings. And yes, I've been using the word composite long before 247 even existed. So that's another thing that the Matrix has contributed to your recruiting enjoyment. So this is Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix. Thank you for joining me.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now in this video.